This is Yaron Brook, guest speaking on Dr. Leonard Peikoff's podcast. I'm here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. Your real-life questions specifically to current events, including politics, economics, and foreign policy. My answers are posted every other week on Mondays. Leonard will continue to answer questions, but now only on alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes at www.peikoff.com. If you have a question to ask me, simply go to peikoff.com/questions. Okay, so this is a question about all these demonstrations in the United States and then the riots that came out of the Ferguson and the other cases of, I guess, white policemen killing black suspects that have happened recently and the riots that have a consequence of this. So let's try to separate some of the issues out here. So I think there is a legitimacy to being concerned that there might be racism out there among the police force. This is always something that we should be superly vigilant about. For government to be racist is an incredible, unbelievably evil thing. And we need to be super vigilant about racism among government officials and particularly among the police force. Now, I have no evidence that in these cases it was racism that what drove this, but I've also not dug into these, the particular cases that have just happened, so I'm not taking a firm stand there. So point one is, racism among public officials, if it exists, is a real, harmful, damaging, enormous problem that is a clear violation of individual rights and needs to be dealt with by replacing those officials. And to the extent that it happens, it is wrong, unequivocally. It seems to me that at least in the Ferguson situation, due process was followed. There was a grand jury. The grand jury saw all the evidence, and it concluded that there was no case to be made against the police officer. I take that to be, you know, that's what our legal system is supposed to do. Now, is it possible that even the grand jury was engaged in racism because it's so embedded in this structure of whatever the Ferguson community, so on? I mean, that's worth investigating. I'm not saying that's irrelevant, but it's possible. But it seems to me that the process here was the right process. It's you put together a grand jury, it investigates all the facts, and it rules. But what's unequivocal in my mind is the inappropriateness of the response to this. The idea of people rioting, destroying, burning down homes, burning down businesses, destroying private property is completely unequivocally inappropriate. It is wrong. It is immoral. These people should be prosecuted by the full force of the law for the vandalism. This is destructive. It's nihilistic. And it's completely inappropriate. So the response to whatever's going on is wrong and inappropriate. There are a variety of ways to, you know, oppose a verdict nonviolently. There are ways to engage in civil disobedience if the case warrants it. And there are ways to get newspapers involved in investigative reporting about whether there really is racism involved. There are ways to, through the voting booth, to get rid of elected officials that might be responsible here. But rioting, destruction of wanted destruction of property is never, ever justified. Now, some people say, yeah, but look at the police force. They were militarized and they were, you know, they used excessive violence and so on. So first, in my view, if these people are destroying property and these people, then I don't believe what the police were doing was excessive violence. What they were doing was trying to protect property, and it's exactly their job to do that. Are the police over-militarized? I think, yes, they probably are. I think it's ridiculous the kind of weapons that the police forces today are accumulating. It's bizarre. It's inappropriate. And it's one thing, even police forces, but some of these government agencies now have these ridiculous stashes of weapons. And I think this is just ripe for abuse. It's being abused. I read stories all the time where this stuff is being abused, and it's just going to get abused more and more and more as we militarize or increase the kind of weaponry that law enforcement, but even worse, regulatory agencies have. But again, this is no excuse for what the rioters are doing. This is no excuse for them to burn cars and burn businesses. This is no excuse for destroying other people's property. All you had to do is turn around and go home. If the police over-militarized again, you can engage in civil disobedience. You can vote out the people. You can write letters and make arguments against police militarization. You can do a lot of different things short of going out there and rioting. So the riots have to be condemned. Why do these riots happen? And I think a big part of this has to do with the kind of leadership that the black community has today. It is a leadership that encourages the entitlement mentality. It's a leadership that encourages the idea of victimhood. It's a leadership, intellectual and political, that encourages them to lash out, encourages the population to feel oppressed, whether they are or not, to feel the victim, whether they are or not, and demand entitlements, which they're not entitled to. And this is the consequence of affirmative action. It's a consequence of the welfare state. It's a consequence of the high unemployment rates in the black communities, particularly among the young, which is driven by the welfare state and by minimum wage. It is a consequence of the mixed economy and the entitlement mentality that we've created, and of a leadership that, instead of encouraging people to be self-reliant, instead of encouraging people to be colorblind, instead of encouraging people to be individualistic, encourages the exact opposite. And the exact opposite ultimately always leads to violence. Racism, which is the opposite of being colorblind, collectivism, which is the opposite of individualism, and this entitled and victimhood mentality, which is the opposite of being self-sufficient, those always lead to a mentality that leads to violence. And that's what we're getting. So the question about the FDA, if somebody new to the biotech industry created a game-changing new innovation, revolutionized all treatment, treatment of common diseases, and made a lot of existing treatments obsolete, would I put it past the FDA to deny it approval to prevent the inventor from getting rich and patients from getting better? Well, I wouldn't deny the FDA anything, so I wouldn't put it past the FDA to do anything. But I don't think in this case that's what would happen. I think the FDA would make it unbelievably difficult for this company or this person to introduce this new treatment, to prove that it was good. I mean, they make it impossible for drug companies today to do what they do. They would make it prohibitively expensive. But if after all of that, after all the trials and expenses and everything engaged, it was still proven that this was a treatment that worked and was safe, then I think the FDA at the end would allow it. Now, at some point, you might get pressure to do away with kind of patents and do away with other things so that one company didn't get too rich and they divvied up the, you know, so who knows? Those kind of things could happen. But I don't think they would suppress the cure in order to deny people money, in order to deny them wealth. Now, they'd be under pressure, but I don't think that's what they would do. They might, on the other hand, change the economic incentives so that all the profits from this invention didn't go to one person. But look, the fact is the FDA is much more insidious than this. It's much worse than this because every day there are companies trying and working on game-changing new inventions. And the FDA makes it almost impossible for them to function and almost impossible for them to do their job. The way in which the FDA destroys these companies is not by when they have the invention, or they say, no, we're not going to approve it, although that does happen sometimes. It's by creating such a bureaucratic hassle to get to that point that most people don't even try, or they get discouraged very quickly or very early. And then they don't allow experimental use of certain drugs and certain techniques. They, even on dying patients, even patients that are dying, they are so restrictive in so many ways. I mean, FDA might be the most evil of all government institutions, of all the regulatory bodies that exist out there. It might be the most evil. It certainly probably kills the most people, you know, because they don't get the treatments that would be possible if they didn't exist. The question about nuclear power and other potentially dangerous economic activities, should they be regulated by government? How does the principle of individual rights apply to questions such as this? It's a good question. So it wouldn't be regulated by government in the sense in which we mean by regulation today. But imagine that somebody wanted to build a nuclear power plant close to where you live. You could imagine the property owners, all the property owners within a specific radius from this nuclear power plant going to the courts and saying, because of the nature of this industry, because of the nature of an accident in this industry, we, all the residents within so many miles of this power plant, want assurances that this nuclear power plant is safe. And we want a way in which to assure that we will not be damaged by this. You know, obviously not 100% guarantees, but a high percentage guarantee because it is fatal. This is not a minimal risk. And then you'd have to create some kind of mechanism by which to ensure that. And the point, you could imagine the court appointing a committee of experts that monitors the nuclear power plant, its building, its functioning when it starts out, maybe has periodic annual checks to satisfy a particular specific constituency that has an interest because they are the ones who would potentially be damaged. You know, imagine that somebody's building a building next to you and you're looking at this building and you believe that some of the building practices and so on are shabby. And if this building fell, it would damage your property. You could go to the court and say, look, here's some evidence that things don't look 100%, or I'm worried about these things. Could we have an independent inspector go in and make sure? And I think it's completely within the power of the court to assign those kind of things. So I think there are legal ways through the court system to deal with these kind of threatening situations, these kind of threats where your rights are not being violated right now in a sense of force being used on you right now, but the risk that would happen, the potential for your rights to be violated is such because they might be negligent or might do something wrong, and what they're building is so risky that the courts could intervene to secure that they won't build in it such a way that your life is being put at risk. And again, to really delve into this, you would need a certain legal expertise on how these mechanisms would function. But the idea today that some regulatory agency sets down all the standards for all nuclear power plants, no matter where they are, no matter the technology, they know everything, and they set a whole set of regulations that have to apply to everybody in the same way. I mean, that just is a wrong approach. And that nobody specific is being threatened. There's no problem that this is trying to solve. There's no individual rights at play here. Whereas with my scenario, there are specific individuals who fear that their rights might be threatened and who are acting. So here's a quick one. What is my stance on massive piracy and sharing of copyrighted material online? Well, it's piracy. It's theft. It's stealing. So this is a way of stealing stuff. So I don't think this is any different than breaking into people's homes. I think it's wrong. I don't think you have a right because you have a CD of some music thing to share it with everybody. I don't think other people have a right to take it from you. Just because you're offering. I think the people who produced the CD, the people who made the music own it. And I think all this, as you say, massive piracy, it's the perfect world. This is piracy. Piracy is illegal. It's wrong. It's immoral. And those who facilitate it on a mass scale should be tried for a crime, which is theft.
If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peakoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.